down to Ronaldo. Yes! Yes! David Beckham has done it big time.
Hello and welcome to the Heddo and Seva Uncharted podcast. Seva, welcome.
Cheers, Heddo. Thanks, mate.
We had some really good feedback again last week. Flea was absolutely brilliant for us, and we are going to do some more stuff with him in the future.
Yeah, he'll come on for a couple of guest ins as well and bring some good guys on.
Yeah, and so Flea, thank you, pal. We hope you really enjoyed it.
Cheers, brother.
Today's guests live in studio are our first guests for our Son of a Gun segment, Mark and Logan Geyer. Welcome, lads.
Hello, boys.
It's good to have you in here, boys, finally.
It's good to be in here. Thanks for the sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, that was great. Thank
Seba.
You.
Anytime. And thanks for the beer. Anytime. Beautiful. Rusty Penny.
Rusty Penny, how good. Good.
Cheers.
How good. So, Seva, we have said that this podcast did start in their gym.
Yep.
Us talking football.
Yep.
And here we are now. So, boys, thanks for coming in.
Absolute pleasure. You boys started up with us 12 months ago, and as far as you have come, it's been fantastic.
And look, we're still there, and you're still keeping Seva in shape. So,
and you,
thanks, mate.
You're good.
Thanks, mate.
Looking
thanks.
Good.
If I was blindfolded,
is that we're going to start with that?
Oh, right? The rattle. What do you call him, rattlesnake?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Right. I didn't know. Are you not the host of this podcast?
No, I'm not. Wow. I'll read your notes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, as we've spoken about throughout this podcast, we are going to run the Son of a Gun segment, and we're going to talk to Logs today about how it was growing up in the shadow of his old man, MG, who was one of the best rugby league players going around and has forged himself a wonderful media career too with through Foxtel, Channel 9, Triple M Grill Team, and now the Rush Hour. So, Logs, we hope you can be honest with us today. And
yep.
MG, same.
Always honest.
Is this the first, boys? Together?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. We're honoured, mate.
Working with each other. Now we're doing a podcast together.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get on to that later, how business partners is working.
Yeah.
Just
great.
One job. Just do the clock, mate.
Can you put everyone in a group for me, Logs, please?
I can't count. That's a ninja. We'll tell you about this later.
Yeah. So we'll get on to the gym later on. But, Logs, we want to start with you. And what are your first early memories of your old man playing, whether it's in Perth or back at Penrith?
Well, Montana was born in Perth, my younger sister. So that's sort of the first memories of me watching Dad play footy were in Perth. At the big stadium, the fireworks going.
The Wacker.
Yeah, the Wacker.
Is that where it was?
Wow.
I don't really remember much after that. I do remember Dad scoring a try when he was playing for Penrith. I think it was your retirement year and doing the
big show, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the big show.
Yeah, we're big wrestling fans. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we used to love WWE. Now UFC's taken over, I think, of where that was, our love for that. So now we love the UFC. But I took him to Melbourne to see Stone Cold. And I see
The Rock and Triple H.
Yeah, yeah.
And nine or ten?
Yeah, you would have been. It was about 2003, so you were about
WWE,
eight.
In Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, wow.
I dressed up as Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was there.
No, I dressed up as him. Yeah, brother, he was there, all right.
He came into Triple M, didn't he? You've met him, haven't you?
It was in our first year, and 2009, and we're sitting there doing a break, and the security guard was walking him through the Triple M corridors on his way to TAFM. And I said, fuck, this Hulk Hogan. What's he doing here? And he said, the security guard, I was about to take him to TAFM. Do you want to have a quick chat with him? And we went, so for half an hour later, this was live on radio.
Just cut in.
Boy, and now I went to give him an arm wrestle because the producer said, oh, that'd be good for videos. And he said, yeah, I'll arm wrestle you, hombre. Let's go. And then in the ad break, he goes, hey, brother, I've got to fuck bicep. Let's not go hard.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't. I said, nah, the Hulk. You know, so we were like, listen, he beat me.
Yeah.
And then we walked off and went up and seen Kyle and Jackie O.
How good.
Wow.
He was the best I ever met. I've met some real good people through that.
He was good, huh?
He was the best. He was the most famous. Because I loved him growing up. And
in the 80s?
Yeah, the Rocky movie.
The Rocky movie. Yeah.
Now, Logs, what was it like through school and obviously junior footy and that? Was it tough for you? Like, as you know, your dad's got a pretty good name, and, yeah. and we can tell people are probably saying you're only here because of your dad and, yeah. And that sort of stuff, yeah?
I got that a little bit, but, a bit in high school, like the older kids when I was in the earlier grades, not so much when I was in the older years at school, but definitely in the younger years at school, and because I was pretty... I didn't really hit my speed or anything at footy till I was about 16, 17, so I didn't really have that much confidence when I was 13, 14, 15 playing footy, and then I hit 16 and just went to another level. So when, like 13, 14, 15, I probably bought into it a little bit, you know, that I was, it was just my last, yeah. No, it was just my last name and everything like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I was shit.
Yeah, okay.
I hit 16 and then it sort of stopped all that talk.
Oh, wow. And
did you coach Logs when he was younger?
Yep.
Yeah.
Coached him from under sixes, top to under 15s.
Yeah. And how was that for you?
I loved it. It was a chance. I'd retired in 2000, so Logs was only 5 when I retired.
Yeah, okay.
So I think he started in 01.
Yeah, I was 4.
The Mav was born.
Yep.
My other son. So, yeah, I coached him and coached him up to under 15s, and then it just got too hard. Too many parents, too many ideas for me to coach. Yeah.
Too many opinions.
Yeah. No, I said, there you go. I remember the first semi-final, I think it happened, and all the parents come up to me after the game and said, why wasn't this kid on? Why wasn't that kid on? Or, you know what? I don't want to do it anymore.
That's why a lot of people don't coach, eh?
Yeah.
They just don't, like, parents just don't let it happen. Let the process go, eh?
Well, I said to him, why don't you coach? No one else wanted to coach the team. Yeah. And it was mainly the mothers. You know,
especially being in, like, having that name and having, like, a platform like you did, like it was trying to control your temper and everything when everyone's telling you how to coach.
Yeah, true. I didn't do that.
Nah.
Were they stirring you up?
Especially the other coaches in other teams. Yeah. Get out of BF.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
If we got beaten by
6-7. Where's the respect, mate?
Yeah, there was none.
There was none, though.
No, there was none. But I must confess, I was my own worst enemy.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I was coaching under sevens, and I thought it was like a first grade game of State of Origin. Yeah. I'm going, come on, get in there. You know, I was a bit, yeah. But I've mellowed since then.
Yeah. Yeah, good. So you're obviously with the guy last name, getting selected Penrith, what, for 20s or earlier than that were you playing at Penrith?
I made a few development squads, like 13, 14, 15, and then played Harold Matts.
Yeah.
Played 17s development, then played SG Ball when I was 18, then went straight into 20s after that.
Yeah, and how was that? Was the sideline ripping India for the 20s, like, as a guy or not?
Not really.
Nah?
Would have been easier, wouldn't it? Because, in a way, like...
Nah, I didn't really get it much from sideline. Nah.
Didn't
you? Nah. Maybe a couple of players, like opposing players. There was one game in 20s against the Knights. We were only talking about this last night.
Yeah.
Jack Mamo, he plays in England now. He's pretty good. He had a little bit of a niggle with me, and I went to get the ball. I was playing fullback, and the ball went dead, and I went to pick the ball up, and he pushed me in the back. And then I got up and threw the ball at his face, and then everyone ran in, and the fence collapsed at the game.
Oh, yeah?
At Newcastle, yeah.
Yeah, how good. And how was that for you, watching him play, you and Meeks, watching him play for Penrith? Was it?
It was fun. Yeah. I remember watching him run out in the Penrith jersey for the first time. It was, I did it for so many years, so it was always great to see your kids, having to do the same thing you did, and they, you know how it feels, so it was great. Yeah,
they would do whenever I played by the TV game, they'd always pick him out in the crowd.
Yeah,
and he'd always say how much he hated it.
And I know it was on me too.
He'd wear a trench coat and
I look like George Michael. Have his sunnies on, and I knew the camera was on me.
Yeah,
and I was going flex and look angry, like
don't hurt my little boy. So what was there any issues through those 20s, Logs? Were you always, like, did you think you were going to make it, or was footy not really?
I knew if I knew I put in the work, I could have, but in the end it just wasn't I didn't like the lifestyle. I didn't want to put in that, all that effort for something that I wasn't really, that I didn't love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to in the end. I just didn't really want to do it because I didn't love it anymore.
Was it the pressure of the guy last name, or was footy just not?
Nothing to do with it.
Not the coaches pushing you and stuff like that?
The coaches, they didn't really, they ended up trying to turn me into like a center or a back rower or but I'd played 5'8" my whole life, so and I never really got a crack to, I didn't really got a chance to do that at Penrith. I was fullback and then center, but they never really played me at 5'8", which was
so do you reckon that was from the guy last name? Obviously your dad made a career out of being a back rower and they saw
maybe they saw I did put on a bit of size from my first year 20s into my second, but like I still had my speed and everything, like, and yeah. I obviously couldn't, I wasn't tough enough to be a back rower.
We know that.
I think someone online on the MG Active Facebook page, I think it was about a couple of months ago, someone put a couple of clips of you playing, and it's like, wow, eh? Like, you're a serious player, eh?
Yeah, you're actually all right.
Had no idea.
Yeah, very fast.
Even quick off the mark. Even in the gym and that, you can tell off the mark, you were quick as.
Yeah.
He was a good player. He was a very good player. Yeah. If he would have committed himself,
yeah,
there's no doubt he would have played first grade.
But all because you got the bloodline doesn't mean
I didn't care about that.
Maybe other people saw it and bought into it, but
yeah, nah. For you, that was the last thing that, nah.
And you got to be happy with what you do.
At the end of the day.
And he always said, like, I don't give a shit what you do. Like, it was...
As long as you're happy.
Yeah. I think you
mean as long as you do something.
Yeah.
And you love what you're doing now, eh? It all leads to the road that you're on now, eh?
100%. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Now you own a gym.
Yes, that you go to.
The new go-to, mate. How good.
We'll get there, don't worry, mate.
Have you been yet before, Hedda? You 5-day free trial?
MG just said I'm fittest.
Yeah.
No, fittest what? Sorry?
Hey, back on task.
After last Friday's big thing, yeah, 12 hours. Hey, Lisa and the kids, here he is. He surfaced.
He just made it home. So, Logs, we've got here, we've done our research, right?
Yeah.
So, we're not getting there just yet.
No.
We'll get through the serious stuff, and then we have done our research for that. Moving up to Burleigh to live with
Matty,
my brother,
and his family. What was the idea behind that?
I just wanted a change. I just was sick of Penrith and, like I said, not playing me at 5'8", and not they trying to turn me into something I wasn't. So I just thought, you know, if I go somewhere fresh that that sort of doesn't have him around, or like, you know, dad playing for Penrith, trying to be a back rower. So I just decided to, and that was the best option because I had family up there and it was far away. So
was that almost the last stint, last straw, saying, you know what, I'll give it a crack. If it works, it works.
Not at the time, it wasn't.
No, it was just impulsive thing.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
What a place to go, bud.
Oh, yeah, it was.
So did Burleigh come to you, or did you go?
No, I sort of made a little like video clip and just sent it around to a few people just to. But that was they. I'll send it to them first.
Yeah, you were going to go to England, weren't you?
Yeah.
We were sending them over to the expats who were coaching, you know, Super League.
Yeah.
A few blokes I knew, and I said, you know, the young bloke's looking for a start somewhere. Wow. And you got a couple of blokes, you know, said, yeah, we'll have him if he wants to come to England.
Yeah, okay. Wow. And what, England just wasn't
for you? I decided, I was like planning to be. But I thought I might as well just go to Queensland first and see if I like that. It's close to home, closer to home than England. So if I go all right there, then I'll think about moving that
and
big.
How old is that? 19, 20?
No, I was
20.
Just turned 20.
And were you working up there too, or were you just, just full time footy?
It was only like I did pre season and that, so I was still, I had a job as worked at like a school camp. They like a beach camp.
They find that stuff
kids,
for you, eh?
Teaching kids how to surf somehow.
Yeah, that would have been good.
That would have been drowning.
He goes about a metre into the surf.
Yeah, sharks.
Up to his ankles. Oh, gee, you have a big swim today, mate. Got your knees wet.
Was it different living with your uncle as well?
Like yeah, of course.
Out of mum and dad's home. And
Yeah, but I've got a few cousins up there, boys that are close to me and Mav's age, so they made it a lot easier, and I probably would have gone home earlier if it wasn't for them, like us getting on so well together. So
yeah. And then you decided to move back home, and was that it for footy, or have you been playing?
I went straight into Windsor, Ron Massey, from there. But yeah, I just wanted to come home. I was coming back every couple of weeks, flying back and trying to make excuses to come back. Like I remember I had my surprise 21st back home, and then was only there for a few days, and then just remember getting home and just bawling my eyes out up there just because I missed everyone. And
home's home, mate.
Yeah.
Always will be.
So in the end, it was just family and friends that I missed too much. Like, you've got your, don't get me wrong, I had my footy mates and that, but it's different to the boys that I've known since I was a little kid. Like, you have your footy mates and then you have your mates' mates.
It sounds like you got really strong roots, bud, eh? Like, a lot of people love to travel living out of suitcases. Mm. Some people don't.
Nah.
Some I suppose if we were, like, Megan was when she's, you know, when she used to travel when she was 19, 20, my wife, 21.
Yeah.
But I never have. I've never had the bug.
Yeah, really.
What about kangaroo tours and that?
Oh, they're different because they're for you. They're playing sport, and but I've never had the bug to go on a Kentucky tour or.
Yeah, okay.
I just love, you know, Australia is too much, I suppose. Just to like to go here and go up the north coast and over the Perth and the Pioneer Tavern.
You don't need a suitcase to go there.
Need a sleeping bag.
So how was then playing Ron Massey and those sort of things? Did you get your love of footy back, or was it?
I just missed. Yeah, I didn't really. It was just the love of like being around mates. That's what I was playing footy for in the end. Just that team camaraderie and like having beers after a win together, and that's what I enjoyed most about it in the end. Just like I got to the point where I was dreading training, and I just loved being around me mates. But
yeah. So obviously now you've got the gym with your dad and all that, and that's now full-time full-time work for you?
Yep, full-time, yep.
4 o'clock every morning?
4 o'clock every morning, as you know. I'll get a notification.
I don't know.
Matt Hedrick has cancelled at 3:45 a.m.
Say he's only been
day.
One, so.
I'll wake up to cancel and then go back to bed.
Oh, no, you do.
How good's that feeling? I haven't had that feeling yet.
Mate, do it. Trust me, you'll be heaps better for it. And then how is that now? Like,
yeah, how's the dynamic? Yeah. How is it? Like, honestly, it looks good from like...
Oh, don't we have our ups and, like, ups and downs, as everyone does at their job.
Of course.
Like, that's a given, but it's a lot easier, like, working with each other. Like, that makes it... It's definitely a positive, more of a positive.
Is it always dinner table talk? Like
yeah.
Not
so much, like...
When you don't get around it, because everyone...
It's more about the fun side of the gym, the dinner table talk. Like, what happened that day, what we were laughing at. Like, it's good to share that with
like
someone.
Like yesterday when someone fell off a box jump.
Yeah. They rolled out the door, didn't they? Who was that?
Did you fall again?
Yeah, again.
Oh, stop.
There's
it.
A missing person sign out.
Legs in the air.
Bermuda Triangle.
I thought no one saw me. See me. I'm trying. I better roll over here. And all of a sudden, everyone's... Oh,
is that a first time? Or
second time.
Ah, second.
Remember last Christmas party? He showed me stacking it?
Of course I remember.
I don't remember the party.
I don't remember that either.
So, your last man standing again.
I was, sorry. Still don't know when to go home. Got issues with that. So is it tough, but 4 o'clock every morning, you're up. Like it's a different. It's obviously a change. I know it's probably a good set. It's a good structure for you. Footy team.
Yeah, it's great. It is challenge. Like it's hard. Like at 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't get used to that. But, you know, I love what I do. So, like, I wake up and it's like I dread going to work. I love what I do. Yeah. So that makes it a lot easier.
And footy's over for you now, mate? Like, is that it?
Nah, I wouldn't say it's it. Like, I'd love to play with mates. And, I wouldn't say it's it. I'm not going to say no way I'm never playing again. I'd definitely love to play again. It's not it.
I think you still got the bug, eh? Yesterday when we were watching Mav, you were like, you know...
Especially watching Mav in the ground, watching him run out.
As an older brother, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
You'd love... It's the dressing room, the warm-up.
I'd love to play with him, like, if I could at some level.
Well, maybe
like,
later on.
Maybe
it,
later on,
it depends which way he goes.
Yeah, I'd love to play a game with him.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
And Mav is doing all right.
Yeah, it's going good. Moment. Yeah. Yep.
Playing Fleg.
Yep. Playing Jersey Fleg, yeah. He's going good. He's had a bit of a growth spurt and, you know, he's a big lad. But he's a good kid, great kid.
Another son with the Panthers jersey on.
Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, as I said before, when you give so much to a club, you know, we won the comp and, you know, then obviously then left and went to play for Balmain and went over the Western Reds. And when I come back to Penrith, it was, you know, three of my best years of my career, maybe because the kids were born and I was older. I was 30 at that stage, so I'd settled down a bit and... Yeah, and then to see the boys in the Penrith jersey, it's gives you goosebumps.
Especially the packed house at Penrith yesterday as well.
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic.
All right, well, Logs, we'll get back to you later on. All right, we've got some some real good things to talk to you about.
Chime in when you want.
Yeah.
All good, Matty.
Yeah.
I've got some stuff on my sleeve as well. Don't worry about that.
So, MG, we're going to get on to you now. Right, we're going to do story time with MG later on.
Yep.
We're just going to get to a little bit of stuff out of you now. So, How did rugby league start for you? Obviously, you debuted in 1986, but what was the beginning of rugby league for you?
Oh, as a five-year-old, the kid across the road was going to training and I asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm playing for a local team, Wayland, in Mount Druitt. And I said to Dad, can I go down the training? So he said, yeah. He took me down to training. I signed up. I was and played 6 years with, or 5 or 6 years with Wayland, and then went to the North Mount Druitt Sharks. Then I had a year at Rudy Hill. Then finished with St Mary's before I went to grade. Had 2 good years at St Mary's and played grade at 17 under 23s, and sat on the bench all year and got maybe 10, 15 minutes here and there just for a bit of a taste. Then the following year I was a starter in under 23s in the back row, and in 87 I played first grade.
Yeah, okay. And how was that obviously making your way through the grades? Was it back then obviously footy was real tough?
Yeah, because if you're in under 23s, well, I was 17, I could play against guys who were 22,
yep.
You know, and to 23. And it happened a lot. We'd play against internationals who were coming back through, who were under 23, coming back through the third grade, under 23s, to get my match fit.
Yeah.
And so we'd play against them blokes.
Yeah.
You know, it was good learning curve.
Physically, how was it? Because obviously between 17, there's a 5-year gap. You could be playing against, like...
Yeah.
Were you struggling, or were you always that size? How big were you at that age?
I was about 105 kilos.
Oh, so you weren't tiny?
No. I was skinny.
Yeah, you had the height.
I'm 6'5", so, you know, I played about 107. I played 107.
Yeah?
I was 6'5".
Wow.
With studs on.
16 mil, 20, 25 mil studs.
Oh, a quick story on that. When the Broncos first came to the comp, we had to play them second round in 88, and they beat Manly the Premiers the first week. Like, they flogged them. So we're going up to play them at Lang Park. And Ron Willie, who was our coach at the time, he said, hey, Mountain, he's called me Mountain. He said, I've got a present for you. And I said, well, that's nice. I looked at them and they were shoes. Barter Scout shoes. Well, what's this for, Ron? He goes, put them on before you get off the plane, please, mate. I want you to put them on. I said, I've got joggers on. He said, put them in there and take them with you. I said, right, eh? So I put these shoes on. They had like a heel like that, like about a 3 or 4 inch heel. Wow. It looked like I was had high heels on. So I'm walking through the plane, ducking my head. And as I got out of the plane, I went, all these photographers, and on the front page of the Courier Mail the next morning, it said, Giant comes to take on the King. Because Ronnie Williams had orchestrated all this.
Wow.
Put the shoes on, and then had photographers waiting there to take a photo of me saying I'm unleashing this 19-year-old kid on Wally Lewis. And that's kind of when the whole Wally thing started, you know.
Is that where it started? So it wasn't that famous night?
Well, no, it was I played against him in 88 for the Broncos. And
Wow. They
said the Giant comes to take on the King.
Did you put one on him?
No, I didn't. No. I don't think I even touched him that game. Didn't tackle him.
Wow.
They beat us on 8-6 or something. It was a tight game, but... Yeah, so Ronnie Willie was an old school coach. He used to call me Mountain. He wanted me to be the bloke in our defensive line that everyone else was scared of.
Yeah.
So I had a free reign.
Hey,
shoulder charges and...
Do what you want.
Yeah, do what I want.
So is he the one that sort of made you a date at the judiciary most weeks?
Yes.
You knew what you could do?
Yes, because I had Tim Sheens before that, and he was innovative. You know, he was the one who bought skill training... training to football clubs. You'd be in groups and groups and groups and 55 people training in one venue. There's 55 blokes in the whole three grades. And so you'd be rubbing shoulders. You'd be in a colour group, green, yellow, red or blue.
Yeah.
You put your shirt on every Tuesday and be mixed with first grade and reserve grade and under 23s. It was really epic.
Massive family.
Yeah, yeah.
Made everyone feel a part of it.
Yeah. Then we'd have awards nights after it. We'd give the Hit of the Week award, the Moose award, and you have to wear the Moose shirt.
Yeah,
to
like
training.
A pink shirt or something like that, or a tutu or something.
So it was good for culture.
Yeah.
And then Ron Willie came to the club, and he was just old school. He didn't know it at the time, but he was in the first stages of dementia while he was coaching us.
Oh, wow.
And he hated backs, just wanted forwards to bash people. Just
So what training?
Even Brandy had a bit of a falling out because he wanted Brandy to play fullback, and Brandy was the best halfback in the world at the time. So, yeah, he wouldn't let our backline players throw torpedoes.
They'd
throw, you know, floaters.
Floaters, yeah.
So, yeah, it was funny times because you go from such a regimented coach as Tim Sheens was to a bloke who, you know, was just we're there for an hour at training, get in and out, and he'd make us all go on Thursday nights, go to the pub with a change of clothes and have two beers at least with each other. So culture was different.
Yeah.
And we started to win more because we bought three blokes in that off-season, Chris Mortimer, Peter Kelly from the Bulldogs, Graham Bradley from Illawarra, and they had a bit of toughness to us young local juniors.
So was training intense then at that time? Like,
oh yeah, it was intense.
Like just bashing each other.
Yeah, it was intense.
Did you use the train as hard as you play? Like for example,
no,
nah.
I don't think you ever can.
You can't, mate. You can't replicate what.
Like happened. Even when you go for a fitness test and stuff, like it's not really taken off like you take off in a game. Yeah. Or it's different.
Yeah, true.
It's
true.
Even with these big pads on.
Yeah.
And run as hard as we could at each other, like body armor,
sumo suits.
Yeah. And they were good, but you never quite replicate what it's like in a game.
So Origin, we'll go there. Back on the Wally Lewis thing, obviously they give you free rein in that your first Origin series, is that right?
No, it was my second series. I played one game in 89,
yep.
Which was the third match decided. They already won the series. So it was just the third game, dead rubber, sorry. And I heard that I was going to be picked for the first game, but they didn't pick me, and they picked Johnny Cartwright in front of me. And then I heard that the coach, Jack Gibson, wasn't a fan of the way I played, so it was kind of public pressure, got me picked in the end, and I had a shocker. I just, you know, I looked up once to see how long they go on the clock, and I thought it must have been only 10 minutes gone, and it was like 4 minutes before half time. I'm going, I've touched the ball twice, I missed 10 tackles, I just can't get in the game. So
is it nerves?
Nerves, yeah. Intimidated by
the occasion,
the players on the other side, Meninga and Gene Miles and stuff. So
big players.
Yeah, and they were just, I was in awe. Wally Lewis at the stage, and so then it was another 2 years till I got the chance again. And in the first game, we got beat, I think 6-4 or 4-2 in 91. And I thought I'd get dropped again. I had another quiet game, and. We're getting our gear for the second game, and I got picked. And as we're getting finishing our photos at Coogee, a couple of selectors pulled me aside and said, "Have you got a sec?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "You're close to being dropped for the second game." I said, "Yeah, I know. I played shit." They said, "You're aggressive at the club level. Why aren't you doing this for us?" I said, "Well, I've just come off a 4-week suspension. I'm scared I'm going to get suspended again." And they said, "Well, mate, you can't get suspended in Origin. When's the last time someone got sent off that no one had?"
Yeah.
"When's the last time someone got, you know, Simbin?" I said, "I don't remember." I said, "Well, go out and do what you want." I said, "What? What do you mean?" He goes, "Like, fuck, do what you want.
You got given the green light.
Green light."
So I went, "Wow, what's this mean? Like, what does it mean?" I just had a kind of calm come over me. I went, "There is a God." And I remember before every game, I used to get really nervous and pace, and that was kind of my ritual. But before this Origin game, it was pissing down rain, and I used to hate playing in the rain as well. But this night, I just had a big calm over me, knowing that whatever I do on the field, nothing's going to happen. And that's very rare in footy.
Yeah.
So it did happen, and I half time, I was going, you know, I was just running out shoulder charging blokes and almost took poor Hoff's head off. Lucky I didn't. Like, I went to shoulder charge him, he fell, and my shoulder, or looked like my elbow, went hit him in the face, but it didn't. It missed him by about 3 or 4 inches. I got cited for six different occasions in the game.
In one game.
I was sitting there.
Is that record?
Have to be. Michael O'Connor he kicked the winning goal in that game, and in torrential rain with a leather ball from his wrong side.
Yeah.
And I was iconic, and I had a good game. Like, I thought I played well. So I'm sitting with my dad in the dressing room after the game having a beer, and all the media come through the doors and come straight for me. And I said to Dad, "I think I got man of the match." He goes, "I don't fucking think so." The reporter goes, "How do you feel to be cited on six different occasions?" I said, "Fuck, I thought I got man of the match." "No, mate. Next door, the coach is saying you should be in jail."
Oh, no.
Graham Lowe, the coach from Queensland, he's saying this bloke's a maniac. He's crazy. I'm going, well, yeah, I was told to. So I went to the judiciary and I said all this. I said, look, I was told to.
Yeah.
They said, who told you? I said, I'm not. Come on.
Really?
That's old school. So, yeah, that was the last time I played Origin.
Wow.
Last time I played 3 games. And everyone thinks I played like 15 or 20, but
yeah.
I played 3.
Maybe everyone wishes you played 15, 20.
I wish I played more.
I've got a guy, he's a friend of mine, he actually rang me up last week, he goes, tell MG this. He goes, tell him that I haven't watched a game since.
Really?
Yeah, I told Logan the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. He goes, I have not. So he wants me to know that you know that you, okay. he hasn't seen a game
what's
since.
What's his name?
Andy Milisari.
Hey, Millie.
Yeah. Andy, where is he? All our electrician. He hasn't watched the game since, eh?
He'll be watching us, but...
Now he will be. I'll tell him. I'll tell him.
Can you give us a little bit of an insight into Origin camp? Like, there's...
It's a two-week bender.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't think
you'd
love that.
You've been on one now, Matty.
It wouldn't be now.
Oh, not now, they're not. No, Freddie, the things have changed. Everything's changed. Like, we'd go into camp a week before the game, so we'd get picked on the Monday, so it was 10 days.
And on the drink for 10 days?
Oh, a good 5 or 6.
But train hard?
Train every day, then go out every night.
Yeah.
Get home early in the morning.
Yeah.
Go to training, repeat. Same as kangaroo tours.
Yeah, I was going to get there too. So kangaroo.
Well, kangaroo tour. I was in the emus, which is the midweek side.
Yeah.
So
they hook it all up, eh? The emus hook it all up, don't they?
You kind of have to do. You're the shit kicker for the first grade teams.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And so we'd play Wednesday nights. Get on the piss Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Train Tuesday, play Wednesday, repeat for 6-8 weeks.
Really?
How good's that?
The best. Freddie Phillip put on 8 kilos.
Yeah?
He went away as an 18-year-old, about, I don't know, 92 kilos, come back 101.
Oh, yeah. Just getting on
just
the drink.
On the drink and eating all the pommy food. Oh. Yeah, right. We have room service all the time. And
Cutler boys. And
Cutler boys, first time overseas.
Oh, mate. All the media used to come and stay at our hotel in Manchester. And... we'd listen to them. We'd go all their drinks. I'm getting on tick on their room.
Yeah.
Room 48. So we'd go when they fuck off. I go room 48.
Cheers, guys.
One bloke come down, John Harker. He's had a £3,000 bill. He goes, I didn't drink that.
That's a $10,000 bill. Oh wow.
Giggling in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
What was it like moving to Western Australia then for a start?
Well, I was never going to go. I was going to renege on the deal because I had a bit of drama in my life. You know, I'd left Penrith. I went to Balmain. I signed in my first week at Balmain. I got the call from Peter Mulholland and Gordon Allen to see if I wanted to play this new club for me in Perth. And they said, we'll give you $180,000 a year. I said, done. I signed for 3 years. Me and Brad McKay were their first two signings. And then halfway through the year up at your minor, 94, they'll call me asking me how I'm going. And then I said, and I'm thinking, I'm going to fucking renege on this. I don't want to go to Perth. Like, I'm staying here. But, well, Meigs was heavily pregnant with Logues. So that was kind of that forced our arm.
Yeah.
We wanted to get away. We wanted to change.
Yeah.
And it was the best move we ever done.
Yeah?
Oh.
Top place.
Epic. Epic. You know, my brother came over about a month after we got there. Penrith wouldn't give him an opportunity. Reminds me a lot of what happened to Logues, to be honest, at Penrith.
Yeah.
Matt, my brother Matt kind of suffered a bit because of the last name as well.
They
wanted him to be a forward and change his whole play. But then there's one me and there's one of them.
Yeah, and he made a pretty stellar career for himself.
He certainly did. With the Storm, he's one of their best. Yeah. And now he's coaching, he's going great. But Perth was awesome. It was a real...
Did it give you a love for footy back?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Playing in the first game against the Dragons that year, we beat them 24-12 or something. There was 25,000 people at the Wacker.
Yeah,
it was on a 40-degree day because we had to play at 1 o'clock to do with the...
TV
we were 3 hours behind over there in summer.
Was that summertime?
No, it was 2 hours behind. It was March. Summer, I think we were behind 3 hours. Because they don't have the old saying.
I've played games and they've literally called the game off.
Yeah.
Back in
so Dragons come over and they go, we're not playing this, are we? Yeah. And, you know,
Flies on the cricket pitch.
Oh.
And then the doctor comes in, the Fremantle doctor,
at
about 4 o'clock every hour. And it just cools things down.
Yeah. And it was a good place to live?
Yeah.
WA.
Yeah, we just partied. His first birthday party, there was 100 people at our house.
Really?
Yeah. He won't remember, but I don't remember. I just remember how many people.
So was it a pretty tight-knit team, was it? Because
yeah, and my brother lived with... He lived down the road at City Beach with about four or five other kids in the junior reds. That was a party house.
Oh, yeah?
And then at my house we had... So I signed the Super League deal about the third week I got there.
Yeah.
So I went over on $180,000. We got the call after we played the Sharks second game at Waka. News Limited are coming over tonight at midnight. We want to meet those that want to play Super League because we're going to Super League.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah.
It was crazy then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How fast it happened.
Like that. So there's, I don't know, 30 of us in this corridor. And they call us in one by one. And one kid they called in first was Eamon Edgar. Mm-hmm. He was a young bloke who's just made it. He's come off the bench reserve grade. He's on about probably 40 grand a year. He came out doing cartwheels. Saying, I'm going to buy a Beamer. I said, what? He goes, 150 grand I just got. Wow. I went, what? I'm going, okay, let's do some math. So I went in. I said, I want 3 years or I want 4 years, whatever. And I want 500, 600, 700. Next 3 years, I go, yep.
Done. They just want players, eh?
They want players. And then I heard that they were giving people upfront money, like 50K or 100K just to sign with Super League. And I rang Brandy and he said, Mel, I got 70. I said, only gave me 40. So I rang him back. I said, Mel, I'm going to ARL. I want another 50. They said, yeah, okay. It was stupid.
Really?
Stupid money, eh?
Stupid money. It got me out of debt. So I was broke when I went to Perth.
Yeah?
But I bought a beautiful house on the beach, you know. Yeah. Paid that off over there with the Super League money.
Yeah.
So I didn't begrudge it.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
No.
No, who would?
Thank you, Super League.
Yeah.
Another god.
Why didn't Super League last? Like for people that want to know, like someone on the inside has played it.
I don't think you can just play. You can't pay that money.
You can't. It's not sustainable.
Not sustainable. You know, we're only getting 6,000 people to the game after that. It was just kind of just died. Rugby League died. They had two competitions, Super League and ARL.
Like a rebel league.
It was a rebel league. And we didn't think so because we made our decisions and...
Oh, you would have...
We had Broncos and... Yeah, but...
You kept playing.
We didn't realise how many fans hated it.
Really?
Because we were in Perth.
The division, yeah.
We were in Perth. It's an AFL town.
Yeah,
you know, social media.
No social media. Yeah. No, so no one could say anything to us. So we come back to Sydney and we'd realise how much people hated Super League.
Because over there you wouldn't have the
No. Wow. It was Perth as far as the city goes, man, it's the most beautiful place.
Yeah, right.
Just so far away from family.
Good spot, Perth.
Yeah, you enjoyed it over there, right?
Yeah, I like
whenever
Perth,
you were over there.
Five-hour flight from here, but,
yeah.
You know, and it's kind of the thing that makes people stop from going over there to Vizio.
Yeah.
Like 5 hours in a plane.
Yeah.
If you're not a good flyer, it's not good.
And you miss, like, did you obviously miss home too at some point then?
Not as much because I had my family with me.
Yeah, so Meigs and Lars.
I had my Meigs. Meigs was there and he was born 95. And then Montana 96.
Yeah, so and Maddie was there as well.
Maddie was there.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law was there.
Oh, yeah.
So Leonie was with us to help.
Shilzy.
And Shilzy, my brother-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had family there.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
We loved it. We loved Perth. We couldn't do that again because our liver wouldn't let us. We just partied hard over there. Yeah. I was 27, you know.
You're first prime, kid. Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's prime.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, boys, that brings us to the end of part A. Will you boys mind hanging around for... We've got some...
Not really.
We've got to get into some Pale James.
Yeah, mate, have one. Lugs, we've got some stuff to talk to you about moving forward. And
yep.
MG, we want to be able to do story time with MG.
You certainly can, my friend.
Server, we want to thank our sponsors again. Mate, who is this studio. So
good setup here, eh? It's unreal.
Yeah, they've done well for us.
Yeah.
So go and visit letsbemates.com.au. We also...
Might be able to do a deal for the gym members, eh, mate?
100%.
Let's get on.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Get the boys.
MG Active.
Yes.
Is another sponsor of ours. Oh, that's yours.
That's us.
Yeah, look. And keeping Sever in shape.
Boys.
The Planning Station.
Maybe.
Maybe if you need any sort of...
She's the best.
...party, she is the best.
Event planning. I think she'd done the MG Active Christmas
party. She did.
Party.
Yes.
You give her an idea, she gives you eight pages of...
Yeah,
it was all right for you could remember, eh?
Oh, apparently.
she did well. DS Tipping and Excavations for all your excavation needs. And if you need turf laid, get laid by the best.
He's the best layer in Penrith.
He's the best. That's what we've been told. That's the rumour. Little Paper Boat Supply Company, Matty Clark, if you need any beanies, yes. MG Active beanies. Yep. Yeah, he's pretty good, Matty. You got your beanies up definitely there pretty quick. Yep. Logos,
air fresheners,
toilet stubby paper. Holders. Mate, he'll do anything.
Swishy, stubby holders.
Yeah,
stubby holders.
Give him a buzz. And yep. Jeff Lambert, who keeps us making
good. Too. Jeff Rowe.
He's very good. So visit jefflambert.com.au.
Best in the business.
And boys, we'll be back real soon.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Sounds good.